Good evening.
So good to be with you. I had a rookie move. I forgot the mic until about the second song, and then so of course I had to run back and get that so everyone would be able to hear me. And of course, my parents who listen online to the recordings complain when I don't use the microphone. So to please them also, and for anyone that might listen to the recordings, I think the microphone helps tremendously. We're so grateful for your attendance this evening. Thankful for the visitors, if you are visiting with us. I am not your regularly scheduled programming for this evening. Brother Strong has graciously allowed the men every first Sunday of the month to practice their speaking. And it was probably about a year ago that the elders asked if we'd be willing to preach once a month. And of course, I saw that it was going to be August, you know, a year ago. So I was just like, that's fine, you know, I've got a year, you know, before that ever comes happens. And of course, as time marches on, it came upon me very quickly. This evening, I'd like to talk about walking with God. Each one of us has probably heard or used this phrase before. What exactly does it mean to walk with God? You know, throughout the Bible, there are terms that are used with walking, as used in reference to one's manner of life or our conduct in life. We are told to walk in love. We're told to walk in wisdom, to walk circumspectly. How we walk and how we are living is so closely related. We read in the Bible that there is a course of righteousness and a course of unrighteousness that we can walk in this life. But there are a few men in the Bible that says they walked with God. And one of those men that I want to look at tonight was Enoch. And now, like Monty preached not too long ago, Enoch was one of the men that was lucky enough to be able to get out of this life alive. But what made Enoch so lucky? Turn with me to Genesis chapter 5. There are only a few verses that mention Enoch. In Genesis chapter 5, we read of the genealogy after Adam. And in only three verses, it briefly mentions Enoch. In Genesis chapter 5, starting in verse 21, it says, Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch provides for us a standout example of one's relationship with God. A relationship that lasted far longer than our lifetimes today. It was obvious that there was a harmony and a relationship between Enoch and God. And it begs the question, can we ourselves strive to have a similar relationship with God? Now, the few verses that speak on Enoch, he's also mentioned again in Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews 11, we have the great list of men and women that were commended for their faith and obedience to God. And Enoch was also one that is mentioned. In Hebrews 11 verse 5, it says, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. The faith of Enoch was so great that God decided to take him away. But more importantly was that he had testimony that Enoch pleased God. So naturally, if we ask ourselves today, how can we know if we ourselves are walking with God? You know, I think we can begin to start to answer that question by looking at Enoch's life through his faith and how he truly pleased God. Today we live in a culture where people are out to please themselves, such as seen in our me-centered advertising, with commercials and consumer mentality of you deserve this. In our fast-paced entertainment and pleasure-driven society, the emphasis is on what we deserve and how we can make ourselves happy. It is a culture with an ever-increasing goal to please me. But as we read in Hebrews 11, it said that Enoch pleased God. And shouldn't we be asking that question? What about pleasing God? Shouldn't we all be putting our emphasis upon pleasing God? There's very little we know of Enoch and how he walked with God. But I think we can conclude that Enoch decided that pleasing God was much more important to him than pleasing himself. But in order for us to be pleasing to God, it first takes not walking in the way that we might think is best. In Romans 8, verse 1, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Too many today want to walk according to how their heart feels or what pleases them. You know, we've talked about this constantly. But we cannot rely on our lives to be determined by what our fleshly wants. We are to walk according to that which is helpful and good to our spirit. Again in Galatians chapter 5, the call to our work, the call to our walk in the Spirit is repeated. In Galatians 5, 16 through 17, it says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish." Our spirit and our flesh are contrary to one another. How many times in our life when we see sin coming, and we know in our spirit, and our spirit knows that we should be avoiding that sin, but then another voice comes in our head, our lusts, and tells us otherwise. The Bible tells us that we should be avoiding that voice in our heads that tells us and tries to convince us that this sin will be all right just this time. We cannot give in to everything that we wish. Our lusts and our spirit are supposed to be contrary to one another, it says. We cannot do everything that our own desires want us to do, especially if we want to be walking with God. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, it says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So what if we replaced one word in that verse? We'll see if you can find it. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing yourself, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Did you catch which word I changed? Instead of pleasing God, unfortunately too many want their relationship with God to be about pleasing themselves. But being a Christian is not about pleasing ourselves. If we are to be aligned with God, then it takes putting our own pleasures and wants last to that which is pleasing to God. The writer says that you may walk worthy of the Lord. Walking with God is an honor and a privilege. Do we treat our relationship with God as such? In order to walk worthy of the Lord, it takes fully pleasing Him, not ourselves. That means that our wants become second to what God wants. That way we can truly walk with God, when pleasing Him becomes more important than what I think. Again, in Thessalonians, it mentions our walk. In 1 Thessalonians 4, chapter, verses 1 through 2, It says, "Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus." It says that we have received how we ought to walk in order to please God. There is, fortunately for us, written down what it takes to please God. In verse 2, he says, "For you know what commandments we gave you through your Lord Jesus." We have written down that which is inspired and directly from the Son of God. We know how we are to walk in order to please him. We have no excuses to try to please ourselves instead of the one who created us and the one we owe everything to. In everything we do, we must ask whether or not God is pleased or not. If we were to stay home from worship services because, we just didn't get enough work done the past week, so yeah. I'm just going to have to stay home and miss worship services tonight. Are we pleasing God by that decision? Or are we pleasing ourselves and giving in to our laziness? What if we have sin in our lives that we aren't dealing with? Are we pleasing God by not stopping that sin? Or are we just trying to please ourselves to be able to just keep doing that sin that we enjoy so much? In all major and minor decisions, it needs to be a priority for us to be pleasing to God rather than ourselves. If we do that, it most likely will always end well. So this afternoon, Emily and I got lunch with Dennis and Carol, and I told them what my sermon was going to be on, and I mentioned Enoch. And Carol had a story about Enoch that I just had to share. So the story goes like this. There was a small boy who was in Bible class, and his dad went to go pick him up out of Bible class, and he asked him, "What did you learn today?" And the little boy replies, "We learned about Enoch." "Wow, what did you learn about Enoch?" Probably not knowing very much himself. And the little boy replies, "Well, I learned that Enoch and God walked and walked and walked and walked." And the dad, wondering if there was any moral to the story, is like, "Well, what else did you learn?" "Well, they walked and walked for 300 years. And eventually they walked so far that Enoch turned to God and said, we're way closer to your house than mine, so why don't I just stay with you?" Enoch decided to put himself second to God for 300 years in order to walk with him. Can we strive to be pleasing to him and put our own selfly desires second for the small amount of time that we have here? I'd like to turn back to Genesis. There's another man that was said walked with God. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 through 9, it says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, 'I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing, and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them.' But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. I found it interesting that I was only a few generations away from Enoch. Another man is mentioned to be walking with God. When we talk about Noah, there's usually talking of his utmost obedience to God. We commend Noah for doing everything that God commanded him. The Bible says that he was a just man, perfect in his generations. It was obvious why it was said that Noah walked with God. But what I find even more impressive is the fact that Noah was the only one in the world at that time that was doing right before God. How difficult would that have been to be all alone trying to do what's right? I certainly cannot imagine the pressure that Noah would have felt. Imagine the peer pressure that Noah felt daily while he was building the ark. Every one of his friends probably ridiculed and mocked Noah. Oh, that's just crazy, Noah, building a giant boat for this giant flood that's going to come out of the air. Noah was alone in trying to follow God. We probably haven't felt as alone as Noah did. But I think it was obvious that Noah had decided to set himself apart from the rest of the world. He didn't care about what the world cared about. Noah truly walked with God. And we can certainly learn an important lesson from his example with our own walk with God. We can look at our own lives and ask if we are still stuck in this world and worried about others' opinions and trying to fit in. Or we can, like Noah, decide to set ourselves apart from the rest of the world and walk with God. The Bible so many times is explicit in warning us of the dangers of becoming entangled in this world. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." It is so easy to be conformed to this world. It is definitely convenient to go with what's popular at the time. To walk with God, though, it is a transformation of our most basic instincts. To block out what is the easiest path of resistance and to keep on that straight and narrow path. Walking with God is a decision on each of our parts to not become caught up in this world and its fleeting promises. That narrow path that we are to follow that Jesus talks about is one that we know few find. But if we are following where the rest of the world is leading to, we will not like where we will end up. If we follow where the rest of the world is leading to, the broad way that many enter, Jesus said that leads to our destruction. We cannot always follow what the world thinks is best for us. You know, I think each of us should ask ourselves, do we really want to be just as everyone else in this world? If we are Christians, then we shouldn't we be desiring to be different? In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, it says, "In you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." To walk with God means that when we become Christians, we are to become dead to our old selves. Our previous life that was filled with giving in to our lusts and our desires. But walking with God means that we have desired to become set apart for Him. No longer interested in what the world has to offer us. Not wanting to be just as the others, like this verse refers. The writer in James knew that setting yourself apart from the world was necessary. In James chapter 4, verse 4, he writes, "Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. We should realize that we cannot walk with God and be friends with the world. The world should know that we are different. And Jesus told us what happens when we no longer strive to be conformed to this world. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 18 through 19, he said, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." Jesus was the opposite of what many in the world wanted him to be. And as a result of it, they hated him. When we decide to walk with God, it is not going to be met with praise from the most of the world. And we need to be okay with that. We cannot think that everything is going to be easy when we are trying to be Christ-like. And we should all expect that hate and ridicule that will come with it, that Jesus warned us about. And if that resistance never comes our way, you know, I think we must honestly look at how we are walking. And if we are truly trying to walk with God and please Him and not trying to please the world. We cannot try to be friends with the world and God. We must, like Noah, set ourselves apart from the world. So just like Enoch and Noah walked with God, for us today, we can aim to live our lives as closely to what God expects from us. Like Enoch, who it says in Hebrews 11 that he pleased God. It took putting himself second to God. It was no longer what pleased him, but what pleased God. And also Noah, who even though the whole world had turned evil, he found grace in God's sight. We must set ourselves apart from the world in order to walk with God, deciding not to be conformed to this world, but truly transformed. And lastly, walking with God is a decision on each of our parts. It is a resolve to align each of our paths with God's. You know, when I first wrote down this point, I started it with decide to align your paths with God. And I realized that it's not just, you know, a decision. The word resolve carries so much more meaning. When we resolve to do something, it means so much more. It means it takes action on our part. It takes considerate thought. But before we ever decide that we want to be Christians that walk with God, it first takes that commitment. In the Old Testament, in Amos, the prophet writer wrote this question: can two walk together unless they are agreed? You know, I thought this question was so applicable to this lesson. Of course, it's a rhetorical question. But if we are to be walking with God, shouldn't both parties be on the same page? The question is answered easily if we think of it today. You know, Emily loves to go on walks. Pretty much every night, Emily asks if I want to go on a walk, and I'm usually willing to go as long as it's not too hot outside. Now, if we decide to go on our walk, would it make sense that when she starts walking, and she starts walking down the sidewalk, you know, I just start walking in the opposite direction? Or what about when we were walking, I decided, you know, well, I'm just going to walk on the other side of the street as we walk. I know she wouldn't be too happy about that. But too often, that's how we treat our walk with God. We think that we are walking with God, but we are not together at all. We want to walk on the other side of the road because we don't want to be seen with God. Or we say that we are trying to walk with God, but we don't truly try to follow everything He asks from us. Can we walk together with God if we are not truly in unison with Him? You know, we can know that we are in unison with God by reading what He has blessed us with. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 5 through 6, it says, "But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked." We can be aligned and in unison with God's path for us by keeping His word. We, of course, have our perfect earthly example when Jesus came to this earth. We have the greatest example we could ever have. The person that we need to follow and to walk as. And if we are wanting to abide with Him, then we are to walk just as He walked, to keep His word. And it is our own test to know if we are truly in Him. And if we know that we are abiding in Him, then our walk with God can truly be in agreement and unison. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before Him that we should walk in them." We are told that we are God's workmanship and that our ways were prepared for us beforehand that we should be able to walk in them. God created us in order for us to walk with Him and to follow Him. Walking with God is unison that makes everything else pale in comparison. And our walk with God is a relationship that we all must strive to work on and maintain. The verse says that God has prepared the way that we should walk beforehand. That means that God is waiting for us to commit to Him and to walk with Him. Just like Emily is ready to ask me to go on that walk every night, God is always ready for us to join Him and to start following Him. But this commitment to walking with Him, it starts with a resolve to walk righteously every day of our lives. So like Enoch and Noah, who walked with God, for us today, we can aim to live our lives as closely to what God expects from us. Like Enoch, who truly pleased God by putting himself second. It was no longer what pleased him, but what truly pleased God. And Noah, who even though the whole world had turned from God, he alone found grace in God's sight. We must also set ourselves apart from the world in order to walk with Him. A decision not to be conformed to this world. And lastly, walking with God is a decision on each of our parts. It is a resolve to align each of our paths with God's, being in agreement with Him and His word. I'd like to go back to Amos chapter 3. The question that the writer asked was, can two walk together unless they are agreed? So if we ask this question in regards to our walk with God, the question is not only rhetorical, but it's just plain impossible. If we desire to walk with God, then we first must be in agreement with that which God expects from us. And to begin that walk with God, it starts with a decision to become a child of God by being baptized for the remission of our sins, rising to walk a new man, dead to our life of sin and no longer pleasing ourselves, wanting to be set apart from the world and its temptations, ready to walk with God faithfully for the rest of our lives. When we take that first step, then we can, in God's sight, be united and ready to walk with Him. Then we can truly begin to walk by faith and not by sight. But what if we have, we already become a child of God, of His, and we know that we are in sin? We know that our sin separates us from God. If we are in sin, how can we be walking with God in agreement? We need to ask Him for forgiveness and repent of those things in order to walk united with Him again. You know, walking with God is not only our conduct and how we live our lives, but it is a relationship that we each have with Him that we can continue to grow and to deepen. Just imagine how close Enoch and God must have been after they walked together for 300 years. We have been blessed to be able to have that relationship with our Heavenly Father. Are we treating it as a blessing? Are we striving to walk with Him every day of our lives? If not, and now is the time that we offer for those to make things right with Him, whether that is through repentance or baptism. Our journey and walk with God can continue, or it can even start tonight. If there be any need, please come forward while we stand and while we sing.